That was our hardest pick of the week.
What's that?
That was our hardest week.
Well, you know, we don't want to be predictable.
So, the next week's Chasidus.
We'll see. We'll see where it all takes us, right? But definitely not Neo. If we're going to do Chasidus, we're going to do the real thing. Authentic Chasidus. Okay. Believe it or not, that's like, you know, my family roots. Okay. You know, Carlin, just what's that?
Carlin and
Lemay. Well, no, that's my wife's family. Although that, my father-in-law is Carlin Stolen.
Oh, yeah? Yeah,
my mother-in-law was a Litvisha, because she's from Eishishak, which is near Vilna. Yeah. Yeah. But my on my side of thing, on the Rosenzweig, my father's side is like Hasidish.
But also the Pnei Yeshua.
No, that's my mother's side.
Also, okay.
Yeah, my mother's side is, that's also Chasbine, also Chasidish, but that's the Pnei Yeshua. And my great-grandfather was kind of a, like he was very wide-ranging person. But anyway, we'll leave it for another time. Anyways, the first you know, post-Bereishis Monday, we talked about Bereishis Bara Elokim, Eis HaShamayim Eis HaAretz, and different interpretations of why we begin with the Bria and this relationship between that and the connection to Eretz Yisrael in various three or four different perspectives. Then I wasn't here for Parshas Noach, so I wanted to kind of fill in the blanks and speak a little bit about the transition of Noach and Lech Lecha, and speak a little bit about a topic that, you know, comes up now and then, and especially came up last year, in the beginning of the year a little bit, and that is the topic of Ben Noach and Shev Mitzvos B'nei Noach, and how it relates to Klal Yisrael, and that's a good way, as I say, to connect Parshas Noach and Parshas Lech Lecha, and a little bit more going forward. So maybe we'll do that for this, this year, and maybe next, if we don't finish it, maybe next year as well, just to explore this idea a little bit more. So in Bereishis, as we know, the Torah already provides the source for Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, and obviously that is very crucial. Most of the world are B'nei Noach, they're not B'nei Yisrael, and obviously their raison d'etre is to be Ovdei Hashem as well. They inhabit the world, and they are Ovdei Hashem, and therefore having rules, regulations that allow for that, that are conducive to that, that facilitate both stability of society and some level of Avodas Hashem is obviously very, very, obviously very crucial. and the Torah alludes to that right in the beginning. We're told by Yivra Elokim Es Adam B'Tzalmo, B'Tzalem Elokim Bara Oso, Zachar Nekeva Bara Osam. This is Yitziras Adam, obviously, the moment of the crescendo of creation. This is the charge that's given to man, right, to inhabit the world and to, again, make it a place which is conducive to a meaningful life, not a small thing. And then we're told, the next thing that we're told is some of the we already told Vayitzad Hashem Elokim, and we're being told here that, you know, that there are some limits in man as well. Yomar Elokim Hinei Nasati Lachem Es Kol Esev Zorei Hazera Asher Pnei Kol Haaretz Ve'Es Kol Haetz Asher Bo Priates Zorea Zora Lachem Yeh Lachla U'Kol Chayas Haaretz U'Kol Of Hashemayim U'Kol Rameis Haaretz Asher Bo Nefesh Chaya Es Kol Yerek Esev La'achla Vayihi Chem, and so on. So we're exposed here to the fact that man is allowed to eat from the vegetation of the world, and he's excluded from eating Chayas Haaretz and Of Hashemayim and Kol Rameis Al Haaretz, right? That's a limit that is imposed upon him. And then later on, as we know, in Parshas Noach, that's one of the great changes, revolutions that takes place in the time of Noach, in the aftermath of the Mabul. The Torah tells us that the psukim here in Perek Tes are really very, very telling, very fascinating. Number one, the Torah seems to need to repeat some themes that we already encountered in Bereishis. Question is why? We've already mentioned them. It sounds as if the repetition is necessary for one of two reasons, or maybe overlapping reasons. One is that it's a new world, and therefore all bets are off, and the rules that applied previously have to be reiterated to some extent. B, in order to teach you that given the calamity of the Mabul or the recreation in the time of Noach, the new world, that these are, you know, that these are still binding. You might have thought that either, oh, let's just say it this way, as a concession, you know, to man's apparently more quarrelsome nature, more problematic character, you might have thought that just like it was important that the Briyas HaOlam be tempered originally from being wrought by Elohim to Hashem, from the Midas Adin to Midas HaRachamim, so too, given the implications of the Mabul, and even in the aftermath of the Mabul, the reassessment of man, so maybe in addition to the Heter Basar, maybe there would be other Heterim. And therefore it's necessary, not only because it's a new world, but because part of that newness brings into question whether or not we're still evaluating man's purpose the same way, man's character and makeup the same way. So you have this whole parsha by Baruch Elokim es Noach es Banav, by Yomer Lehem Pru Urvu Milo es Aretz. We already know, we've already read about Pru Urvu. Again, some of them Farshim explained. One is a bracha, one is a tzivui. All that's good too, and that's part of this story and this change. But Umorachem v'chitchem yeh al kol chayes aretz, the relationship with the rest of the animals perhaps changes, of course, as the there are two views about the heter of achilas basar, more than two really, but two very obvious ones. One is it's a concession to man's apparently spiritually more inadequate persona than previously established, or the opposite, that given the new world order, man is going to be more elevated over the animal kingdom, and therefore the capacity to digest the animal kingdom, you know, to look at it as a chefza, is more pronounced. Again, the Ramban has his own twist on this, suggesting that Noach really saved the animals, and it was in his schus that they were saved, and therefore that changed the relationship, and that is connected to the het of achilas basar. Ramban alludes to this in Noach, but he develops it more fully in earlier in Bereishis. The point is that these ideas, whether or not, you know, we're going to be more strict, or there are going to be more concessions, or maybe both at the same time, because things are complicated, or that relationships have shifted, and so on, is responsible for what otherwise would seem to be repetitive or overlapping psukim, and that's why umorachem v'chitchem yeh al kol chayes haaretz, that's part of the change in the relationships, very fascinating things, al kol hashamayim, kol asher tumosa adama, b'chol dgei hayam, v'yadchem diktanu, kol remes asher huchai, lachem yeh la'achla, this is the heter v'achilas basar. Now again, the Gemara says, we're going to discuss that Gemara in just a second, on Nun Tesla and Deis and Sanhedrin, that the way to read the psukim in Bereishis that I read before was that there was an Isur v'achilas basar. Not everybody read that way. There are views in the Chazal that that's not necessarily how to read the psukim, and that there was no Isur v'achilas basar. But certainly, we'll call it the normative view, the popular view in the Chazal, is that there was. And therefore, this is a major break. And we're being told that ach basar b'nafsho damo lo tokelo. However, there's a limit, and that is the limit of Eber Menachai. That's what I want to zero in on today. And then the Torah continues, v'ach estimcha l'nasho seichem edrosh, miad kol chaya adreshenu, miad ha'adam, miad ish achiv, edroshes nefesh ha'adam. The psukim discuss not only that, you know, animals you know, had better be solicitous of human beings, but it sees the need to, once again, emphasize that, you know, human beings better be careful in how they interact, that suicide is unacceptable, that murder is unacceptable, shofech dam adam ba'adam damo yishofech. Once again, it's necessary to repeat the notion of Tzelem Elokim, which of course was the linchpin of creation, right? Ki b'Tzelem Elokim asa ata adam. And once again, a second repetition in this parsha, v'atem pru urvu shirtzu ba'aretz urvu ba. So the question is, like, why the need to repeat all these seemingly axiomatic things? Again, given the new world order, given the change in relationships, the different assessment of mankind, all this seems to justify, but it's important to acknowledge that this is what's going on. So in the context of all of this, we have, of course, the last of the Shebetz Benoach. The Shebetz Benoach are derived from the psukim that the Torah quotes earlier, by Tzav Hashem Elokim Esa Adam, right? Pasuk Tezayin in Perek Beis, Vaitzav Hashem Elokim Al HaAdam Lemor Mikol Eitz Hagan Ochol Tochel. And the Gemara, as we'll soon see, derives Shebetz Bnei Noach from there. And then the Torah repeats in Noach, in Perek Tes, Pasuk Dalid, Ach Basar B'Nafsho Damo Lo Tochelu, seemingly the last of the Shebetz Bnei Noach, namely Eiver Minacha. There's a machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban, and this is part of a discussion in the Gemara, whether it's only Eiver Menachai or it's also Dam Menachai. That's the view of Rashi, Al-Atar. Rashi says here, Basar B'Nafsho Asolem Eiver Menachai, Kozman Shenafsho Bo Lo Tocha Basar, and then Basar B'Nafsho Lo Tochelu, Hare Eiver Menachai, Ve'af B'Nafsho Dam Lo Tochelu, Hare Dam Menachai. The Ramban, in his Perish Al HaTorah, disagrees and says that it refers only to Eiver Menachai, that Dam Menachai is a din in Klal Yisrael, based on the way we paskin in the sugyas, and so on. So, on the surface, if you look at the psukim, so you have Shemitz B'nei Noach, and you have this repetition of Eiver Menachai when it comes to in Parshas Noach. However, if you look carefully in the Gemara, this, you know, seems to raise some questions, because when the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Nun Vav Amud Beis discusses Shavuot's B'nei Noach, it seems to say that all Shavuot's B'nei Noach were given to Adam, including Eiver Menachai, and that they're all derived from that psuk, from those that pasuk. Gemara here on Nun Vav Amud Aleph says Tan Rabbanan Shavuot's Tzavu B'nei Noach Dinim Birkas Hashem Avarizar Gilei Arayos Shvichas Damim Gazel Eiver Menachai. This is the normative list. There's a discussion whether there's another list or not. Last year when we just learned Sanhedrin, those of you who were here will recall, this one question about Dinim, whether it is in, it's not in. Maybe we'll get back to that a little bit. But the Gemara says, and then Rabbi Hananya ben Gamla says, Afal Adam Menachai. Fine. But this is the list that we accept. And the Gemara has it here on Nun Vav Amud Aleph. Then when you turn the page on Nun Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Minani Mili, how do you know this? Gemara says, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Kro, Vaitzav Hashem Elokim Ala Adam Leimar, Nikol Eitzagan Achol Tochel, Vaitzav is Dinim, V'cheinu Omer Ki Yedativ Laman Hashem Yitzav Es Banav, Hashem Zubirchaz Hashem, V'cheinu Omer Nokev Shem Hashem Osimos, Elokim Zavonis Kochavim, V'cheinu Liyeh Lecha Elohim Acherim, right, and so on. Right, al ha'adam zushvichas damim, b'cheinu omer shofech dam ha'adam. Right, lemor zugili arayos, b'cheinu omer lemor, hein yishalach isha sishto v'holchom miito v'aysal isha acher. Right, mikol etzagan v'lo gezel, and achol tochel v'lo eiver minachai. Then the Gemara discusses, no, maybe you should switch vaitzav and alokim in terms of avodah zarah and dinim. And that's very consequential, at least according to the Ramah in a tshuva, but that's on our topic for the moment. Good. So if you take the Gemara on Nun Vavmud Aleph, Nun Vavmud Beis, Kipchuto, really all seven mitzvahs B'nei Noach are derived from that pasuk of Vayitzav, including the last one, Eber Menachai. It kind of raises an interesting question, which has always bothered me, and that is, like, why do we call them Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach? Because they're really Sheva Mitzvah B'shel Adam, or B'nei Adam. They were all commanded to Adam. Now, a simple answer might simply be that, again, in the refashioned world of Noach, if it wasn't for Noach, the world wouldn't have continued. He, you know, brought about the transition from pre to post Mabel. And therefore, in this new configuration, we address Bnei Noach. If that's the right answer, it's a very simple answer, and it certainly could be the right answer, then at least possibly it says something, again, about the, you know, the credit that Noach has, the refashioning of the world, especially if you say that the world was refashioned on the basis of some slightly different principles, you know, some having to do be more machmir, and some, you know, more mekel. But either way, that refashioning, you know, has impact, and therefore, what were sheva mitzvos b'nei Adam became sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach. That's certainly a good answer and one with implications. And I think that is acceptable. Question in my mind still remains a little bit. Certainly didn't have to be that way. We could have certainly understood that that they would have been called Shabbos B'nei Adam. And again, I'm not interested, obviously, only in the linguistic question. Okay. There's another Gemara, and that is the Gemara in Daf Nun Tesa with Beis and Sanhedrin. And that Gemara either poses an alternative, or at minimum, just provides a little bit of additional perspective, depending on your point of view. Gemara says on Nun Tesumet Beis, this is towards the end of the sugya of Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach and Perek Arba Misos. So the Gemara starts off, here's where the Gemara says very explicitly that previously there was an Isur Basar, Amrav Yehuda Marab Adam Arishon, Lo hutala basa lachila. As I say, not Chazal do not believe this uniformly, right? It is certainly the more dominant view by far. Dichsiv lachem yela achla v'lekol chayas haaretz v'lo chayas haaretz. The way they read the psukim, the one that I was reading before, Aleph Chavtes or whatever it was, v'lo chayas haaretz lachem. Then the Gemara says, ukashabo b'nei Noach. Hitir lahem, shenemar kiyerek esev nasati lahem, right, eskol, and that's the heter basar in the time of the Bnei Noach. That's an important change. I'm suggesting that that change carried with it, or was symbolic at least, of other changes, which justifies the need to repeat the Piri of Arivyas, the Tzelem Elokim, the sanctity of life, and so on and so forth, either way. And then the Gemara says, Yochal lo yehei eber menachai noeg bo. Talmud lomar, ach basar benafsho damo lo tochelu. I mean, there is an explicit pasuk regarding Noach of eber menachai. In fact, the only one of the, let me make this point, it's a true point. The question is whether it's consequential or not. And I don't know if anybody even picks up on it. But the true point is that the only one of the Shevetz Bnei Noach, right, which is stated very clearly or explicitly, is Eber Menachai in the Parsha of Noach. Right, the others are derived based on authoritative drashos that I read very quickly, Vaitzav, Hashem, Elokim, right, and so on. But Eber Menachai is Mefurash. The question is whether it's a second formulation, right, or we'll see in a moment, or the first. But either way, it says Ach Basar B'Nafsho Demolo Tochelu, and basically the Gemara here is saying that once it was a Heter Basar, you might have thought there would be a Heter Eiver Menachai, Kamash Malan. Question is, what does that mean? And we'll get to it in a second. Then the Gemara says Yachal Af the Shratzim Tam Lomer Ach Mai Talmuda. And then the Gemara goes and discusses that a little bit, another line or two. Fine. The Pashtus of the Gemara is that this is not the Makar for Eiver Menachai. It's only the makar that Eiver Menachai continues, even after the heter of Basar. But some of the Mefarshim, Marsha in particular, was a little troubled by this, and others as well. Like, what would be the Havamina that And just because there's a heter basar, there should be a heter of Eber Menachai. There's a heter basar. There's a heter basar. In the Chabo, El Chidusha, right? Why also a heter Eber Menachai? We'll see in a moment that the Chidush Aran has a suggestion to explain something else, that the original Iser of Basar, right, included Basar, and by virtue of the fact that it included Basar, it included Eber Menachai, Betoras Basar. That isn't so obvious, and it's probably, it's not always that obvious, it's not the view of the majority of Rishonim. Those who think that Eber Menachai applied to Adam think that it's derived from Achol Tochel. I mean, that's the pasuk that the Gemara quotes. And conceptually, don't necessarily think that it was included in the Isra of Basar, or it's an extension of the Isra of Basar. There are those who think that there are two dinim, right? There's Basar and Eber Menachai, fine. But if you take that position, so at least you can explain the Havamina of the Gemara. Right, meaning at the time of Noach, so Eber Menachai was part of, he was Nichlal in the Iser of Achilas Basar. Once they were Matir Basar, so did they also Matir that part of the Iser Basar, Eber Menachai? And the answer is no. But then, of course, it looms large for being, you know, why is that exception remain, according to the Chidush Aran, that view in the Chidush Aran. According to the other Rishonim, the question is the other direction. Namely, why would you ever think that just because X was mutter, that Y is mutter? Right? Eber Menachai l'chud and Basar l'chud. Yeah. The, you know, Marsha asks this question in a particular way. We'll see soon that many Rishonim, Bali Tosis, are of the opinion that Eber Menachai, that is Asur, is a case, well, we'll see in a minute, is a case where the, you know, the Aver fell off by itself. It wasn't cut off of the Behema. Why? Because, as we'll see in a moment, the Bali Tosis's view is that the Iser of Achilas Basar isn't per se an Iser of Achilas Basar, it's an Iser to kill an animal in order to eat it. But, you know, a Behema Shemesa Me'lehab would be mutter for Adam. But Eber Menachai, that was not mutter. So the Marsha says, I don't understand why on Daf Nun Pesamid Beis, the Gemara thought that there'd be a Havamina, or the Gemara's trying to explain the Psukim, that there'd be a Havamina, that just because Basar is mutter, Eber Menachai should also be mutter. After all, the Gemara didn't think that about, you know, that just because Basar, you know, Shemesa, just because Behema Shemesa Me'leha, or Me'lov, you know, that that's Mutar Bachilas Basar. No one ever thought that that was a heter for Eber Menachai there. Right? That's a Marshal's question. I'm just trying to highlight that if you take that one view of the Chidush Aran, which is that Eber Menachai is included in the original Iser Basar, then you can totally understand this Havamina. If anything, you have to contend with the why, not the what, but the why of the Maskana. I'm just trying to build up the notion that if the Gemara is to be understood kiputo, which is that there was an Iser Eivra Menachai at the time of Adam HaRishon, and there's an Iser Eivra Menachai that continues b'shav time of Noach, and the Torah needs to reiterate it because the Havamina that the Heter Basar would have also included an Iser, a heter of Eber Menachai. Question is, why would you think that? Like, what is it about the heter basar that would lead you to believe that? And the Marsha's question is kind of sharpened by saying, well, you know, a discrepancy between Eber Menachai and basar was part of the original tzivui to Adam. Why would you think that that would change in the time of Noah? So, okay, that's something to think about. The Rebbe Leo Mizrahi, in his Perush on Rashi, really likes the Gemara, reading the Gemara this particular way. Unlike the Marsha. Marsha didn't like the Mizrahi and attacked that position. I mean, he likes the idea that this Gemara is simply telling us that there was such a Havamina. So we'll get back to that. However, it's possible that this Gemara is saying more than that. If you look at the She'iltos on Parshas Noach, and especially the Rambam, so it seems as if the makar for Avraham and Achai really is the pasuk in Noach, and not the Achol Tochal of Parshas Bereishis. The Rambam, the Rambam in Perek Tes, Hilchos Melachim, in a this is the Rambam's introduction. Kind of introduction to the details of Mitzvos B'nei Noach, and almost every word here is like Mechudash, if you compare it to its Talmudic Makoros. Why did I say Talmudic Makoros? Because as the Chiddush Aran already points out, and others noted as well, a lot of the formulations in this Rambam come from the Medrash, and not from the Gemara. Now, most Mefarshim who note this, noted to explain the Rambam. And it does. It explains where the Rambam got certain things and what he means by certain things. But I just want to note that, not as an explanation only, but as a question. Meaning, typically, as we know, the Rambam would quote the Bavli, maybe the Yerushalmi, certainly not Medrash Rabbah. But this Rambam is chalked through Medrash Rabbah, and in particular, he does some things which are quite amazing. So the Rambam says, Al Shisha Dvarim Nitztava Adam Arishon. You already see what's going on here. This comes from the Medrash, not from the Gemara. Six of the seven Mitzvos B'nei Noach were given to Adam Arishon, Alavad Azara. By the way, he changed the order. It's interesting. In the Gemara, right, you have, I think, Dinim right in the beginning. For the Rambam, Dinim is in the end. That also may be, for those of you here last year, we talked about it. Right, the Rambam's view of Dinim is very limited. It's really to implement the other Sheva Mitzvos. Did I say that accurately? Let me just check. The other Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Right. But for the Rambam, I'm sorry, for the Ramban, Dinin is a comprehensive legal system. But for the Rambam, it's to implement the other six Mitzvos B'nei Noach. So for that reason, for the Rambam, it makes sense that Dinim would be the last on the list. I think that's not a coincidence to what he writes later on in the end of Perek Tes. Anyways, Al Shisha Dvar Mitzvah Adam Arishon, Al Avodah Zarah, Al Birchas Hashem. I think he also writes an order of magnitude. Al Shvichos Damim, Al Gilui Arayos, Al Gezel, and then comes Al Adinim. Then he says something which is also very important. Afa Pishakulon Kabbalah Hein Biyadeinu Mimoshe Rabbeinu. Just 1 second. Bahadas notalahem. Number one, we have a mesorah about them. That's very important. Number two, they're logical. They're like mishpatim, in other words, which we'll get back to. It's not today when we finish this up. Michlal divrei Torah yira'eh shal elu nitztavu. It's also important to note that it's merumas in the psukim that these are mentioned. So then you would expect that he would quote the limudim, right? But he absolutely does not. He leaves it with just the fact that they're nitztava based on remuzim, even though you should know that there's a Kabbalah and they are logical. There's a triple basis, in other words, for the shisha mitzvos that were given to Adam. They're merumas b'psukim, there's a Kabbalah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they are logical. The question of logical and either being merumas b'psukim and part of the Kabbalah of Moshe Rabbeinu is a very important issue for the Rambam. The previous Rambam, which I forgot to bring, in Perek Ches, the last halakha of Perek Ches in the Rambam, is the famous line where the Rambam says that B'nai Noach are obligated to follow Shem Mitzvah B'nai Noach, not just because they're logical, but because they come from the Rabbonu Shalom, that's as for religious motivations. And then there's discussion about the Girsal, if they don't, so what are we saying? They are B'chlal Chachamehem, Or you know, are they umos, you know, chachmei umos ha'olam, they're b'chal chachamim, but they're not b'chal tzadikim, or they're b'chal nothing. So the Rambam here is repeating that they are logical, but it's also important to know that they're merumas, and that there's a mesorah. But what's fascinating, I'm setting this up, he doesn't quote any of the psukim, and then he says, hosif lenoach, Avraham and Achai, right? Which the Midrashim say, and the Rambam says. But that's not what the Gemara seemed to say. And Shenemar, this I'm noting, this is the only time he quotes a pasuk of the seven. Ach basar benafsho damolo tochelu. And then he says, Nimtzu shav mitzvos. And since all of us can count, my diukim now. So the Nimtzu, we have this in other Rambams too. Like, well, you know, why is the Rambam telling us, okay, so there's six, there's one. In other words, there are seven. I'll tell you the short version. My view is, this is the Rambam's way of saying, and we'll get back to explain it, that number seven, which deserves to be mentioned, which is attributed to Benoah, to Noach, and which is the only one to get its own pasuk, rounds off the list, but does so in such a way that it's mishakef, it's made on the rest of the list. That's what I'm going to want to say with it. V'chein haya hadavar b'kol ha'olam. So this is also fascinating. Some of it comes from Midrashim. But what's fascinating is, this Sefer Malachim is in the end of the Rambam, right? The end of Mishnah Torah. The whole Mishnah Torah, with the exception maybe of a, you know, a halacha here or there, the very beginning, Sefer Madan, the beginning, right, is a little universalistic. It's about Emunah Bashem. It's about the Bria, right? You know, Maisa Bracious, Maisa Rakava, a little bit. But pretty much 99% of the Mishnah Torah is dedicated to Dinei Yisrael, to Taryag Mitzvahs, right? And every mitzvah that the Rambam's about to mention has gotten its own independent treatment. Now, you're in the end of Yad HaChazaka. You've plowed through these 14 massive tomes, right, with every single, you know, diuk along the way, right, including the fact that the Rambam, you know, doesn't explicitly exclude, you know, Chalipin from Hilchos Ishus, because he didn't need to, and many other diukim, his use of Kenyan, so on, right? And you've come to the end, and finally he's giving a couple of lines to the rest of the world, Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Am I dramatizing? A little. But do I think this is a point? I do. Right? And it's Nimtzu Shev Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, but in the, he can't leave it. V'chein haya davar b'chol ha'olam ad Avraham. Ad Avraham nitztava. And what's he nitztava? Yes, sir. Elu b'mila. Now that's true. That's Parshios. That's the end of the Parshios of Lech Lecha and the beginning of Parshios Vayera. Right? That's Avraham's prominent nitztava. Some of the Nosa Kalim here ask, wasn't Avraham Avinu, you know, Shomer all mitzvahs of the Torah according to the Gemara in Yuma Daf Chaf Ches? How come we're only mentioning Mila? Okay, they answer because the Tzivui was only from Mila. I got a la mitzvah v'yosef. Okay, we'll see if we can add to that answer. Why was it only Mila? Again, v'hu ispal shachris. Okay, that's not part of the Tzivui, but that is mentioned. How come not all the other mitzvahs? Right? Yitzchak Hifrish Meiser. This is the debate between the Rambam and the Ravid, whether the Meiser really belongs to Avram or to Yitzchak. Again, Avram gave Meiser to, you know, Malki Tzedek. Yitzchak also gave. That's a Rambam and Ravid discussion. V'hosif tefillah cheres lifnos hayom. Right? Yaakov hosif gida nashe. That's also very problematic because the Gemara says in Chulin that gida nashe, right, it has nothing to do with Yaakov. Yaakov did it, but he wasn't mitzvah. It's a Kal Yisrael thing. But if you look, here the Nosa Kalim point out, if you look at the Rambam and Pirush Mishnayos and Chulin, he says, no, of course Yaakov did it as a tzivui. Yaakov did it as a tzivui that Kal Yisrael would in the future be obligated for. That's what the Gemara means is, we don't do it as Kal Yisrael because Yaakov did it, right? But it also isn't two different dinim, according to the Rambam and Pirush Mishnayos and Chulin. Yaakov did it, obviously because of his experience, but only because in the future it would be made a mitzvah. Why is that so important? We're going to get back to that too. But either way, get on Asha. Ube mitzrayim mitztaba amram b'mitzvahs yaseiros. Everybody's clamoring, where does that come from? The Mechilta says Amram was an abezdin. Maariz Chaya says that the Gemara in Sota, Daf Yud Beis, says that, you know, vayikach, how does it go? Vayikach, who's the Balkori here? Vayikach ish mi beis levi. How does it go? No. Vayelech ish mi beis levi vayikach. Shua, how does it go? Yeah. So the Gemara, that's the whole story, you know, that Miriam gave Amram and Yocheved Musa because they were Poresh, and she said, like, you know, it's not your job, you know, to be Poresh, right? So he reconnected with his wife. So what's fascinating about it is, so the Aretz Chaya says that Gemara in Sota Yud Beis is what the Rambam is referring to when he says that Amram, right, was involved in mitzvos yiseiros, that refers to the mitzvah of kiddusha, kicha. Okay, that's particularly relevant to us. Okay, nice. And then ad sheba Moshe Rabbeinu v'nishlama Torah al yada. I think the word nishlama here, in the sense of shleimus, of the totality, the holistic comprehensiveness of the Torah, is a critical thing. So yeah, every line, every word of the Rambam here, and that it's here, is amazing. The bigger point I'm trying to get across is his presentation of Adam as six, Noach as seven, the seventh being made on the sixth. Nimtzu Shav Nitzus is critical, and then he can't let it go, even for one halacha, till he goes back to, then comes each individual, you know, din, right? Ben Noach Shavad Avodah Zarah Chai, Ben Noach Shibir Chas Hashem Chai, Ben Noach Shahar Gesana, each one separately. But he can't leave it without contrasting it sharply to Klal Yisrael in the different, starting with Avraham Avinu, ending with Moshe Rabbeinu, as if to say, don't think that these Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach are equivalent to Taryag. The difference is not only quantitative, it's qualitative in what we mean by Avodas Hashem, as important as Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach are. Okay. So just keep all that part in mind and we'll get back to it. And if that is true, of course, then the challenge for us, and this is something I've mentioned whenever it's come up, you know, in shir type context, like last year's dinim, the job for us is to figure out not only the discrepancies between Bnei Noach and Taryag Mitzvos, which are obviously multiple, right, the details, 613 is much more than 7, but it's also to figure out even more so when there is overlap and there's nuanced differences in the overlap, what that really reflects. That's where you have the greatest commonality. There you will also find the greatest difference. And that's why the continuation of the Rambam, when he goes into each and every one of the Shev Mitzvot B'nei Noach, is so fascinating, in the Gemara, of course, and then the Rambam in particular, right, to figure out those wrinkles. So in Dinim, you know, for the Rambam, obviously, the contrast between Dinim of B'nei Noach and Dinim for Klal Yisrael is vast. There's no subtleties there. There really is no Dinim. There's just the implementation of the rest. But for the Ramban, that's the challenge, right? The Ramban says you have a comprehensive, you know, civil law system, and according to the Ramah's reading of, you know, Elokim being the source of Dina B'nei Noach. In other words, the Ramah is a tshuva, which he basically says that if you take that limud, then l'chadchila B'nei Noach should really adopt Choshen Mishpat, all things being equal. So the Netziv says, well, if that were true, then why do we say Mishpatim Bal Yidam? Then why is there an Isur Arkos? So to me, that's like, you know, perfect. Right? That's where, you know, you have the unbelievable overlap, and it becomes, I'll explain more, but I explained it last year in the context of Dina, but I think you have to do this to every one of the Shev Mitzvot B'nei Noach. The more it seems like they're identical, right, the more the rest that is attached to it, the context, or the way it's diffused and developed, right, becomes critical. Again, there's only one of the Shev Mitzvot B'nei Noach relating to Gilui Arayos. So in one sense it looks, or you know, Gezel Ben Noach is even B'pachas Mipruta, something we have to talk about Pruta in the Chalipin context still. On the surface it seems like there are some Chumras, or more expansive Hagdaros for B'nei Noach. But what we're going to try to show, and the Gemara says, "Mi ikin, mi di, can Bnei Noach ever be obligated where Klal Yisrael not?" We're asking about a number of cases, and the Rishonim ask it about more. And of course, the right derech to answer that question always is, it may look that way, but those chumras are function of kulas. In other words, when you have the opportunity to diffuse, right, a presentation, not just the presentation, a configuration or a group of dinim across the whole system, so then you know, it's going to be very nuanced. When you only have, you know, a single category, right, it might be more chamur. The stability of society might demand that in some respects. In some respects, it's going to be flimsier. In some respects, the teeth governing it are going to be sharper. In some respects, it's going to be more expansive because that's all there is. Whereas for Klal Yisrael, it's a diffusion. But it isn't just a different way of organizing. It's not about efficiency. It's about how you conceptually understand these halachos. So the challenge really is to figure out in each of these categories, right, what is the Benoach perspective and what is the Klal Yisrael perspective? And what I'm trying to say is that, of course, when they deviate, you know, in an obvious way, that's one major source. But where they seem to overlap, and yet there's an important distinction, right? That is equally, in some cases, even more a way to define this. So when the Rambam can't hold back and needs to contrast immediately with Mila of Avraham Avinu and some of these others, and then Ad Shenishlama Ayidei Moshe Rabbeinu, I believe this is his hakdama to doing exactly that. But that's not today's focus. This is going to result from today's focus, but this is like the approach that I would suggest. Yeah. No, of course you could read it that way. Right. So we'll look at the evidence in a couple of cases to see what we think. Of course you could say one or the other. What I'm suggesting is that the following, that it's not like anybody who ever read Yad HaChazakah could think, oh, you're saying that part is fine too. You can't forget that you know, there is Hilchos Mila, and there's Hilchos Tefila, and there's, you know, and there's the entire, you know, Sefer HaMitzvos and the Taryag HaChazakah, which teaches us all the Taryag Mitzvos. So the Rambam here certainly wants to make a point. Now, I'll leave it to your judgment whether that point is, though you should know Taryag Mitzvos and Shev Mitzvos are exactly the same and it's an organizational difference, or whether the nuances don't really highlight that, you know, the difference is radical. In the case of Dinim, it's pretty clear, right? I would argue it's pretty just almost as clear for the others as well. So, but we'll see that. You can say one of two opposite things. You just can't say that it's innocuous. Given the evidence, I think it's clear that the Rambam is saying the contrast. Okay. So what I want to get back to is as follows. Why the only one he quotes is Avraham and Achai. That's the one that's attributed to Bein Noach. Getting back to my kind of linguistic question, playful question maybe, or maybe more, which is why they called Mitzvahs Bnei Noach and not Mitzvahs Bnei Adam. For the Rambam, you know, we have a partial answer, but not necessarily a fully satisfying one either. I mean, 6 out of 7 are still Bnei Adam, so we call Bnei Noach because the last one is Ben Noach, and, you know, it's true, all 7 apply to Bnei Noach and only 6 apply to Bnei Adam? Maybe. Of course, that assumes that really only 6 applied to Adam, which is what it sounds like in the Rambam. But what does the Rambam do with the Gemara on Nun Vav Mud Beis? And where does the Rambam get this other in the Gemara? So there are those, the Kesef Mishnah, Latar, is very bothered by Nun Vav Mud Beis. He says, obviously the Rambam felt it was an Asmachta B'Alma. Either the whole Pasuk, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim, and so on, that would be very problematic, because he does imply that they're Merumas, or at least the Achol Tochel part of Avraham and Achai. The Kesef Mishnah, I'm not going to read it, but he was bothered by this. But that's his conclusion. The Lechem Mishnah attacks it. It says, Kotzav Rabba Kesef Mishnah, the Sovra Ben Adapag of the Maisi Mikro V'Braisa Achol Tochel, V'lo Avraham and Achai, Haikrok Siv Ba'adam Asmachta B'Alma. The Loka Divrei Rashi, that this is a real Makar, Shekosav Dafagav Lohuta Labasar, Huzar Alever Menachai, Lamedka Shafil Einka Mimisa, Shinafal Mimena. The Lechem Mishnah goes on to say that the possibility that this Pasuk, by Tzavah, Achol Tochel, even on the Ever Menachai part, is only an Asmachta, is very difficult to sustain. He thinks it's wrong. So there's a problem. What does the Rambam do? There are those, however, who argued that the Rambam thought that there were 2 sugyas even in the Bavli, namely Nun Vav Mud Beis, Nun Vav Mud Aleph and Nun Vav Mud Beis, right, which seems to say Avraham Menachai was also Nitzdavet to Adam HaRishon. And Nuntesom and Beis, now Nuntesom and Beis, I say, is not a problem for the other Rishonim at all, or for Pashtus of the Gemara. No stira between Nuntesom and Beis and Nunvam and Beis. All you need to say is that Nuntesom and Beis is a Havamina, that Bizmanch, that there's Heter Basar, there would also be Heter Aver Minachat. Not that it's the Makor for Aver Minachat. But there are those who suggest that the Rambam didn't read the Gemara that way. Maybe he too was bothered, like, why would there be such a Havamina? So what he read the Gemara to be saying, even though it doesn't sound that way 100%, is that the following. For Adam, there was no Isar Eivor Menachai because it was beside the point. Why was it beside the point? Because it was an Isar Basar. So if there's an Isar Basar, of course there's an Isar Eivor Menachai. For Noach, when there was a Heter Basar, so then it was important to establish that there was an Isar Eivor Menachai. And that's when that was created. That's how many of the Achronim interpret the Rambam. The Netziv in his Peirush on the Shiltos interprets this way. These are two different sugyas. The others interpret this way as well. And then they say, well, that's a pretty good point. Right? Why would there be an Isar of Eivor Menachai if you hold that there's an Isar Basar for Adam? Ah. So now it gets a little complicated. So it seems like that is what bothered the Baalei Tosfos. When they said, Tosir Masal Achot Tochel Velo Eivor Menachai, the Tosfos says, V'hadam Rinan Lekaman Delohuta LaAdam Arishan Basar LaAchila. Right? That's Tosfos' way of asking this question. How can there be an Isar of Eivor Menachai for Benoach if Basar is Asar anyway? So Tosfos, that's what Tosfos came up with this idea. Hainu LaHamis V'LeAchol Avomesa Me'Leha Shari Basar LaFuk Eivor Menachai Dafilun Mafa Me'Lav Asur. The Baalei Tosfos, can you imagine that? Redefined the scope of the Isar Basar based on this question to suggest that the Achilas Basar was Mutter as long as it wasn't Lahamis. Very remarkable. And indeed, Rashi in his Parish in Bereishis seems to say, emphasize also that killing animals is what's Asur. Rashi and Nun Zayin Amid Aleph and Sanhedrin as well, although I'm not sure that they got it from this question like the Baalei Tosfos did. There's also some question whether there's a difference between Basar Bechira and Basar Shechita, whether that's not also a distinction that applies here. But, you know, we'll leave that for another time. So, if indeed this is what this is indeed what bothered Baalei Tosfos, so what about the Rambam? Right? So what you might say is that that gufa is the machlokas between the Rambam and Baalei Tosfos. Namely, the Rambam felt that the Isar Basar to Adam, the Pashtus, was to eat Basar. And therefore the idea of Eivor Menachai was irrelevant. Whereas the Baalei Tosfos, right, had a hechetimtzi of Eivor Menachai, even Bizman Adam. And indeed, that's what some Achronim suggest. The problem with that is really twofold. Number one, how do you read the Gemara on Nun Vav Amud Beis? Forget about whether you want to accept that Gemara, but that Gemara does seem to say that Eivor Menachai was Nitzdave, together with all the other six, to Adam HaRishon. How does the Rambam even read that Gemara? And certainly, if that Gemara is not just an Asmachta B'Alma, that becomes a challenge, a challenging thing. That's number one. Number two, is there no other way to explain the coexistence of an Isar Achilas Basar and an Isar of Eivor Menachai? So the Chiddush Aran, for example, in Sanhedrin, as I mentioned before, number one suggests the possibility that Eivor Menachai was included in the Isar Basar. Right? Aran says here, Achol tochev leiver menachai ikel meidak ba'adam harishon lahutar basar. Same question as Tosfos. Bekim shekein l'shaich be'azaris iser leiver menachai ikel meidikar kro asul meiser lebasar. The ksim ikal eitz agan achol tochev below basar. ukeshehutar basal b'nei Noach nishar yisra eva menachar b'mkoma milashon achol tochel. Meaning, this is one yisur, right? Part of which was matired and not the other. Again, it raises a stronger question, why differentiate and what's the significance of that? But at least it explains both the Havamina on Nun Tesamid base and the coexistence. There wasn't Eva Menachai separately, according to the Ran. It was, Eva Menachai was represented by the Iser Basar. The Shevetz B'nei Noach included Basar, and Eva Menachai was a subcategory of Basar. Achol Tochel was a remez that part is going to remain, or that part is a more acute Iser Basar, which is going to remain. And indeed, in the end of the piece, he suggests that v'hochi Iser b'braisa, when it's achol tochel, remez lo al eber menachai, klomar, remez Iser al doros haboy. Right? Now again, either because of this point, or later on, even if you abandon this point, let's say you say eber menachai and basar are two different dinim. Right? So, but still, if there's an Iser Basar, then Mimela, there's an Iser Eber Menachai. Right? Let's say they're in two different dinim. But why is one relevant once you have the other? It says the Iran, in Achanami, but it was Merumah's, the Rabban Shal knew how the future was going to unfold. So it was important when he gave Adam Harishon the full list that there be Merumah's there, that Eber Menachai is a separate Iser, even if it's not one which is practically consequential. Right? Or what I just said, that it was originally integrated, but acute, and it was left, or the remez was, that it was going to be a remnant. Fine. The truth is, even with all of this fancy posturing, one could have just said that there are two dinim, and the fact that practically there's an Iser Basar doesn't mean that there isn't also a chalos of Iser Eber Menachai, especially if they are two different ideas conceptually, one having to do with, again, either Taiva or Kilas Basar Taiva or the relationship to the animal kingdom, the other being more connected to, again, Tzelem Elokim and a certain, you know, Achzorius. What you might say is that there are two different Mechaivim, Eber Menachai and Basar. And it's true that Basar also precluded Eber Menachai, but that doesn't mean it wasn't an independent Mechayev and an independent Chalos. Moreover, the Yad Ramah has a very fascinating suggestion as well. The Yad Ramah says, also bothered by this question, the Yad Ramah says maybe there are two different dinim in another sense. Namely, when it comes to Basar, right? No one ever said that Basar is one of the Shevetz B'nei Noach. It was also taught by Risha. He could amakshu. Machad lo hutala basar b'achila. Lamali l'meisar eva minachai. Vis to dochki v'yomri, according to Tosis, dechi yomri lo hutala basar l'achila hanim ilo l'hamis v'lechol. The lab milsa, he doesn't like it. The basar stam kamrinan. It's a big chiddush to come just out of this question. V'su imishum arigas balei chayim. That's an interesting point. The Ramah says if the Iser was Lahamis, so why are we focusing on the Basar? But the truth is that it's probably more complicated. It's an Iser Achilas Basar Shehemis. It's not the Iser Lahamis. It's Basar Shehemis. That, I think, answers that. But anyways, the Su Imke Nechim Osvina Lamidrav Yudah Ben Tema. Okay, fine. Ready? It's a beautiful perush. Where this is going to be a chiv misa. That Rama basically says what I said, but in a much more concrete way. As I was suggesting, there's a chalos Eva Menachai, there's a chalos Iser Basar, there are different conceptual mechaibim. The fact that they overlap, who cares? It's still important to know that there's a separate Isur of Shav Mitzvah Noah. The Ramah is saying, no, there are two dinim, and there are two different types of dinim. The din of lack of heter basar was a lack of heter. Right? Lashem ha'aretz u'maloa. Until the Rebbeinu Shlalom is, kol ha'nenim u'olam hazeh is mo'al. We say it about below bracha. So until basar was nitar, it was asur. That's an interesting perspective, right? But that doesn't mean that it's asur, and it doesn't mean as haraso zui misaso. It doesn't mean per se there's some offense, right? Something that is antithetical to being a benoach. It just means you have no matir, you have no license. What does that have to do with Avram and Achai? Avram and Achai is one of the shevets b'nei Noach. So I think that there's very good several other ways to explain, how there could have been a coincidence of Isur Avram and Achai and Isur Basar in these various different ways. However, having said that, some Achronim do make this suggestion that Machlokas between Rambam and Bali Tosis is really, just give me another 2 minutes, I'll do this part to finish up. Actually, you started earlier anyway, but I'm the one who's in the time pressure, I guess. The Isser of, that really they're arguing about, or flows from the Isser of Achilas Basar itself. And indeed, this is, the Ramban, the Rashi, seem to go in the direction of the Bali Tosis. Ramban doesn't say it explicitly, but Ramban does say that the issue of Achilas Basar is about the relationship between man and the animal kingdom. Is that about the Achila Basar, or is it about Achilas Basar Shehemis? Maybe limited to Achilas Basar Shehemis. On the other side of it, there's a... some of the Achronim note this, the Klichemda particular, it was a very sharp thing to say, I'll tell you in just a second, that the in Torah's Kohanim, I think in Parshas Achrimos, there seems to be a view in Torah's Kohanim that Basar Tameh, Basar which is not kosher, right, is a remnant of the original Iser of Achilas Basar of Adam. Obviously, if that's true, then it's not limited to Basar Shehemis, right? Because that's not true. Non-kosher meat is not permissible, right, if you didn't kill the animal. So there seems to be a major debate about this question. Indeed, there's the Klichemda has a very fascinating idea. It quotes from one of the others, I think Numukhe Agriv, but I happen to see it there. It's a very interesting, suggestion of a lishitaso, maybe too sharp, maybe not. The Mishnah in Kalim, in Perakei Zayin, Mishnah Yadalid, says, Yesh b'mesh nivra b'yom rishon tuma, b'yom sheni ein bo tuma, b'shlishi yesh bo tuma, b'revi b'chamishi ein bohem tuma, chutz miknaf ha'oz, u'beitzas na'amitz tzum b'tupa, and so on. First, it's just a fascinating thing. The Mishnah in Kalim, right, lists which days were characterized by the creation of Devarim Hatmeim. Right? Fascinating. That's like a way of looking at the Bria. Yeah, I never answered your question, did I? We'll get to it before I stop. Sorry, I just got carried away. So one of the things that we're told is that Berviyah B'chamisha Ein Baham Tuma. Okay? So what does that mean? So the Rash, Mishans, Al-Atar, says when we talk about Yesh Bahem Tuma, Ein Baham Tuma, we're not talking about the actual creations. We're talking about Kalim that were fashioned from what was Nivra on those days. Just because otherwise, you can't say that Revi and Chamishi had no Tuma, because Ophos were created by Yom HaChamishi, and there's something called Nevelas Of Tahar, the Metame Bibes Ablia. That's the Rash. The Rambam disagrees. Rambam says it really refers to the Nivraim. I Tumas Beis Ablia of Nevelas of Tahar, he says that's a special kind of, that's important for notes for this as well. There's no Tumas Maga. That's just a special Chiddush. That's a totally different Chalos Tumah. It doesn't count. Okay, an interesting argument about Nevelas Tov, Nevelas of Tahar. So what does it refer to? The Nivrai. So what does it mean that on the first day, one of the Nivrai meant Tumah? So the Rambam says, Yadua shenivra biyom rishon dvarim rabim. Among them is Mayim. And Mayim is Mekabel Tumah. Right? So some of the Achronim ask, Nibuke Agriv, others ask, on the Rambam, Tos Yomtev has this. So what do you mean biyom hachamishi? There were no Nivrayim Tmeim. What about Ophos? They're Mekabel Tumah, Tumas Ochlim, just like Mayim is Mekabel Tumas Mashke. Right? Ah. So some of the Achronim give this sharp answer. They say the following. This Mishnah is talking about the Bria. Right? At the time of the Bria. So when Ophos were created. Right? Were they subject to Tumas Ochlim? There was an Isur Achilas Basar. Right? So the sharp thing is to suggest, this is what the Kli Chemda says, that maybe the Rash and the Rambam are l'shitasam, because the Bali Tosus thing, that the Iser Basar to Adam Harishon, right, was very qualified. It was only Lahamis, but they're allowed to eat the Basar, not to eat the meat, in which case it has a shame Ochel, and there's Tumas Ochlim. Right? And that's why the Rash reads the whole Mishnah and Kalim in such a different way, in addition to the Of Tahar. But the Rambam, who quotes a different pasuk for Avraham ben Achai and attributed to Bnei Noach and not to Adam HaRishon against the Gemara, right, is maybe that's because he held that there is an across-the-board Isur Achilas Basar. So according to him, at the time of the Bria, right, there was no Shem Basar. If there's no Shem Basar, there was no Tumas Ochlin. There's no Tumas Ochlin, so his parish on the mission is very good. Very sharp. Okay. However, again, I'll have to stop in one more minute. I think that is a way to understand the Rambam, for sure. It doesn't explain why the only pasuk the Rambam ever quoted was Avraham ben Achai. Right? It doesn't explain the Nimtzu. It doesn't explain how he would read the Gemara on Nun Vav Amud Beis to Nun Zayin Amud Aleph to Nun Vav Amud Aleph to Nun Vav Amud Beis. It doesn't explain a lot of things. So I'd like to suggest, and I guess I'll elaborate on this next time a little more fully, is that what the Rambam really had in mind was false. I'm not sure whether the Rambam felt that Avraham ben Achai was prohibited to Adam or not. Or maybe it was, maybe along the lines of the Ran. Maybe it's not an asmachta. That part I'm not so sure about. But what I think, with greater conviction, is that the Rambam was trying to tell us that it's important to characterize all the Shev Mitzvahs as the Shev Mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, not just because Noach was the last one, and that Avraham ben Achai, in that respect, is the linchpin to explain or to characterize what Shev Mitzvahs of Bnei Noach really are, how they differ from Taryag mitzvos, even though Avraham ben Achai is one of the Taryag mitzvos, but it's a Taryag mitzvah. It's not a linchpin in the Taryag mitzvos. And that's why quoting the Pasuk, especially the Pasuk in Noach, this would be especially true if it was the wrong Pasuk in terms of not being the Makar. But maybe that's why also it's the Makar. Even though there's an earlier Makar, it gets superseded by this Makar. And that's for the following reason. The other mitzvos b'nei Noach are basically proclamations, and they come in a vacuum. And they reflect a certain standard in social and religious behavior that are very important in terms of stabilizing society and a minimum of Avodas Hashem, and so on. Avraham ben Achai, the context of it, is precisely the dialectic of compromise, concession, and yet, notwithstanding that, the maintenance of standards. To the question, either way, what is the Gemara? Why did the Gemara have a Hava Mina? You know, that just because it's a Heter Basar, there's also a heter of Aver Menachai. Right? It's pretty strange. And the way the Marsha says it, they didn't have a havam, they didn't seem to be a problem, have a problem with, according to the Bali Tosis, with the idea that you can eat, you know, basar mesa, but you can't eat Aver Menachai mesa. You don't need a gzaras hakasa for that. How come all of a sudden there's a heter basar and we need to say, but not Aver Menachai? The answer, I think, is very simple. Again, Reb Chaim Heller, in his edition of Sefer Mitzvos of the Rambam, has a whole arichus to try to get. He has a different answer to this question, but he doesn't like the question. But he has a different answer. My answer is very simple, and it dovetails with what I just said. The original mitzvos to Bnei Adam were religious, you know, limitations or tenets, right? They weren't given in a context, there was no dialectic, there was no effort to satisfy two different impulses. They were not a concession, necessarily, or maybe they were, but it's not obvious from the way that they're given. They were an imposed minimum level of religiosity. Only Aver Menachai came, right, against the background of, wow, we had a world of six or seven mitzvos b'nei Adam, right, the Adamite laws, we'll call them, and it didn't end well, right? It ended with a mabul, and, you know, Yetzer HaAdam, Ra Min Urav, and Lo Tov, you know, and so on. And then the world was refashioned by Noach, who himself is a compromised kind of a figure. Again, I always like to call Noach a relativist figure and a survival kind of a figure. He couldn't build a new world. He could only transition. You know, and I'm not criticizing. It's an amazing legacy of Noach. And that's why it deserves to be characterized as Ben Noach. But I think it's more than that. Noach, because he was tzaddik, but only bedarosav, his relativism, his survivalism, but his inability, right, to really project idealism and creativity and maximal religiosity, he's the perfect person to embody Shemitz B'nei Noach. And the one that is associated with him the most, Aver Menachai, is exactly that. Because what does it come in the context of? Heter Basar, because the world has changed, and partly that's a consent. Men can no longer be expected to rein in that part of his passion. We're conceding on that. But we're not conceding completely. There has to be still, right, a minimum. There has to be something that precludes Achzarius and that maintains, if not Kedusha, but at least something compatible with Avodas Hashem and that negates Achzarius and so on. That context of the Mabul and the new creation, that context of Heter, but still Iser, that's exactly the idea of Benoach. So the Gemara says, yeah, in the time of Heter Basar, right, we either reiterate or we splinter Aver Menachai from Basar, if you're talking about it in terms of the Chidush Eran, or maybe even better, we create a new final of the Shevitz B'nei Noach, namely Aver Menachai. So that's what the Rambam says. Six mitzvahs were given to Adam. But if you really want to understand the Goy Milsul Mafreya, what Shemitz B'nei Noach are about, they're not just proclamations in a vacuum. They're a concession or a compromise that maintains a certain dialectic, on the one hand, of acknowledging that the whole world is not going to be able to maintain a certain idealistic maximalist standard. But at the same time, right, there has to be a minimum, and you have to be careful about that minimum. So Noach came along, and he was Noach, with his strengths and his limitations. Again, a relativist figure, right? Not Avram Avinu, but not Adam either. And in the context of his Heter Basar, right, there was retained an Aver Menachai. And that became the symbol of Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. And that's why we call them mitzvahs b'nei noach. So then the Rambam says, but you should know, you know, that that wasn't the end of the history of Avodas Hashem in the world, Chalila. Right? Ba Avram, and what did he do? Bris Milah. And of course, Bris Milah is exactly about, I've said this in the past, of course, Bris Milah is a symbol of Kedushas Yisrael. For various reasons we're not going to go into right now, but Bris Milah's characteristic as Kedushas Yisrael is precisely the ambition of Kol Taryad, right? It's the mitzvah shebegufo, wherever he goes. It's the way of regulating or managing the interrelationship between all the Taryag mitzvahs. Right? That's what Milah is. And then he adds some of the characteristic elements of, yeah, it's a chalos begufo, right? You're a mole. It's part of the definition of being a ben Avram Avinu. And then he talks about some of the unique characteristics, not the only things that they did, but of Avram, of Yitzchak, of Yaakov, of Amram, right? And then it concludes, v'nishlema kol haTorah ayidei Moshe Rabbeinu, who also had a Mila experience, right? Chasan damim lamulas. And of course, the involvement in Mila, Korban Pesach and so on. But especially, who represents Taryag Mitzvos. Why is it, you know, the Gemara has in these little three dapim in Sanhedrin, and, you know, this whole discussion of, number one, mi'ikim midi, why is that so important? Right? Can Bnei Noach ever be more chomer? And as I was saying before, in the ones where it is, it's a chomer which flows from a more simplified, and in many cases, a more kal obligation. So it expresses itself in details here or there as chumras, right? But it's because it's not really nuanced and ambitious and idealistic. That's one aspect that we find in the Gemara. The other aspect we find is the Gemara keeps talking about, you know, what if you have mitzvahs b'nei Noach and they were lo nishneis b'sinai? Or what if they were nishneis both b'sinai and by etzel b'nei Noach? The Gemara has like an adamant view, right, that even though something is a mitzvah ben Noach, you should know. We don't do it because they're mitzvahs ben Noach. We do it because of Moshe Rabbeinu. Like, why is that so important? All right, Ellie? According to Ellie, the question is, why is that so important? The answer is, because what we're trying to say is that even those details, and even when they overlap, by virtue of the larger context of Avram's Bris Milah and Moshe Rabbeinu's Nishlema, Kol HaMitzvos, that context, that framework, the web of other obligations and mitzvos and isurim and so on, the kulas and the chumras are transformative in every single one of these details. And therefore, even if it's lo nishna, right, it becomes part of taryag and so on. Okay, we'll stop here. I just want to speak a little more about this idea and a couple of applications of it, maybe next time, because it relates also to something in the parshos in Lech Lechon Vayera. So we'll do at least one more on this broad idea.